I don't know. Ask Freud.
But welcome to Pros and Cons. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to Pros and Cons. And today, I am one of your co-hosts, Sophia, as well as your co-president of ESA.
I'm Evelyn, and I'm the other co-host. And today we have two really special guests with us. Do you want to introduce yourselves? Let's start with Abby.
I'm Abby.
What do you do? What year are you in?
I'm a third-year English major and one of the directors of operations in the ESA.
Lovely. What about you?
Hi, I'm Ava. I'm a second-year English and film studies major, and I'm also a director of operations for the ESA.
God, so many directors of operations.
Team. Wow, yes, events team. Shout out Ashley.
Yes. I discovered how to use the soundboard, other than the bleep. So, we have this segment. And I can call it a segment because we've had three episodes where we talk about something that we've read, we've watched, we've listened to that we think the people should know about. The people being the many people who listen to this. Sophia, do you want to go first?
I would love to go first. So for some reason this weekend, Instagram decided that I now love My Fault London, my entire For You page. I haven't watched it yet. And so Instagram has convinced me yet again to watch a movie. Watched it this weekend. I love it. My new hyperfixation. I absolutely recommend. And probably like by yourself. I'm glad I didn't watch it with my sister.
Watching it with my roommates was like the best experience ever.
I was screaming a lot. I was like, oh my god, he was just shot. Anyways, the romance, the steam, the tension, and
siblings.
Well, step siblings. Let's make
what?
That. Let's make that clear. They're step siblings, and they've only just met when they decide to, like, you know, do some alone
Cassandra
stuff.
Claire. Dog, what?
It's very like Clueless esque.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, but except slightly less creepy.
Yes. Well. Yes, because they grew up as step siblings, kind of. So.
Yeah. Matthew Broom, I think, looks way better without facial hair and with, like, he is in the Buccaneers, but that's my personal opinion. Highly recommend. Highly. It's everything.
I don't even know what you're talking
about. The second half is elite, though, when it just gets into, like, a mystery.
Yep. I'm like, I need the second movie now.
Okay.
Right? Sure. I want more.
You should watch the original.
No. I think it looks
I haven't
worse.
Seen it either. I haven't seen it either.
Based on like the video editing and stuff, like this like it's on Amazon Prime and it actually like it looks like a good movie.
Okay. Anyways.
Evelyn, it's your turn.
It's my turn. Okay, I have two. I was originally gonna say none. Because I've been reading 1911 newspapers for the past 2 weeks. But my two are the cartoon Invincible. It's on Prime Video. I love it. It's season 3 just is coming out right now. So I'm watching it. It's about superheroes. And it's like, it's more adult. So it's kind of gory. And then the other one is Drive to Survive, which is a docudrama about Formula One. And I like Formula One. So, yeah.
You may like My Fault London. There's a lot of racing and fancy cars and racing fancy cars.
No. All right. You know what, Ava? What are you watching?
What am I watching right now?
Or reading or listening?
Okay. Well, I just finished Heartstopper, the show. Well, and the first graphic novel, but the show. And it was great. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. I watched it to like accompany my reading for class, but I just kept watching it because, and then Jonathan Bailey popped up and I was like, oh.
Oh my God.
Okay. I was like, oh, I didn't think he was coming in yet. And then I saw him and I freaked out and I sent many videos to my roommates and I was like, Johnny Bailey, what are you doing here? If you were very culturally behind like me and hadn't seen Heartstopper yet, go watch it.
All right, Abby, what are you watching or reading or listening?
I just finished season one of Yellow Jackets, which is super good. I'm pretty sure they're about to do cannibalism soon.
Oh.
So real excited for that.
We have incest and we have cannibalism.
Woo. Yeah, it's
peak
super
literature.
Good. Yeah, and I should probably stop watching it at night because it's getting creepy.
Okay. I will say the only thing that all of you said out of like what all of you said that I know is Heartstopper. So, yeah.
Certified by Avelyn.
Certified by Avelyn. I love Heartstopper.
Abby got my reference there. Now, continuing our wonderful and, you know, sexy conversation about popular culture, we're going to be talking about the most infamous class in the English department, literary theory.
Otherwise known as EN 301.
Or the class everybody hates.
And has to take if they're a single major. Which, why did we take it, Sophia? We didn't have to take it.
Well, no. But, you know, going on to do, like, a master's and, like, a PhD, it's definitely helpful to have theory under my belt. But the reason I took it is counterintuitive. As a cultural studies major, you need, like, 2 credits in theory. And so my EN 301 counts as this theory requirement.
You saw the word theory in the course, and you're like, that's the
well,
one.
Well, the cultural studies, like, calendar, oh my God. Academic calendar has like a pre-approved list of all the courses that you can take in each category. And
oh, okay.
That was there.
That was there. Never mind. Yep. But yeah, it's overall like as an upper year student, I get third and second and even first year students saying like, do I have to take lit theory? What's lit theory like? Like, did you guys feel scared going into it?
Yes.
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 It's okay. You can speak freely here.
You can speak
Petch
freely.
Petch is not.
He's
listening.
Not listening. I guarantee you the chair of the department is not listening to this.
Yeah, I was scared, but more. I wasn't scared when I signed up for it. I was scared when I talked to you all and you all said that it was scary.
Exactly.
Maybe all the upper year students just want to scare the lower years.
Possibly.
Because low-key, like, third years did that to us in second year, where they're like, don't take it. Do you remember? I can't remember that girl's name.
Anika?
Yeah, she,
name drop.
Well, we were at an ESA event. It was just a study one, and we were asking her about it, and she's like, do not take that class. It was traumatizing. Also, she had a different prof.
Yes.
We all know who.
I love the prof, Dr.
Yes.
Okay. I love Dr. Petch. He, like, I feel like I like his lecture style. So it's a lot of material, but when I actually get to class and he explains it to me, I'm like, oh yeah, this is good.
This is good. Yeah, I remember like going in after reading like Lacan and Derrida, and just being like, I have no idea what we're talking about today. And then he'd explain it. I'd be like, oh, this is so simple. Why didn't I know this before? Yeah. But yeah. In terms of what the class covers, it covers a lot, which is why people are scared of it. Because the textbook is a brick.
She's chunky.
She is chunky.
She is a doorstop.
With Bible paper.
Yes. It's like, I think 2,000 pages long.
Yeah.
About, roughly.
I thought it was 3,000.
It might be.
I have it. We can literally check.
Check the page count.
Fact check.
Let's fact check. Let's fact check.
Oh, I feel safe walking home at night. Like, in my backpack. Yeah, it's like almost 3,000.
Oh my god.
Almost, not quite.
And
almost.
You carry that around every Monday and Wednesday. You carry that around every Monday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I carry that around every Monday and Wednesday. Sophia was a coward.
No, I was a superior. I have the illegal PDF copy.
Yours was illegal?
Well, I don't know where I downloaded it from.
You didn't pay for it?
No. Why would I pay for it? You can find this, like, free online from, like, I don't know, like, Zlib or whatever. But, like, when it comes to essay writing, I'm not flipping through almost 3,000 pages. I'm Command F to find the keywords and phrases.
Dog, the articles were, like, 40 pages max.
Well, yeah, but, like, if I want to find, like, Suso right away, I'm not, like, ripping through the Bible paper.
Well, that's why you have sticky notes.
The margins are non-existent. I don't care. In the department meeting, they were talking about how low the amount of people buying this actual textbook is.
Coward.
Because they're all. I'm not going to say that. Because the textbook is so expensive.
It is.
It made a dent.
It did make a dent. I will say that was the most expensive term in terms of textbooks for me. And I only had two textbooks to buy. That one and a Spanish textbook.
Lol, couldn't be me.
My mom pays for them.
I mean, so does my mom, but like, I'm not. I already have scoliosis and back pain. I am not, you know, putting myself through that.
No, my dad's a chiropractor. When I show him this, he's like, what?
Sorry. Anyways, I'm moving on. we can debate the book in our private time, I guess. But the theories that it covers, so many. We start with like Aristotle and Plato. We start with the Greeks. We go way back. I think there's also Horace.
Yep.
I don't know if he's Roman. I think he's Roman.
I didn't pay attention to that part.
And then we end in like the 21st century. And we talk about eco-criticism. We talk about post-colonialism, feminism. I'm working backwards now. Deconstruction, formalism, structuralism, all the isms. And that's why it's tough, because like every week it's a different theory getting stuffed into your head. And I remember last year Sophie and I talked about it'd be cool if they made a full year one. Although like you'd be like, I can't escape it for a full year. But we think it would be a lot easier.
Well, because like it covers such like a wide gap of theories. It also misses a lot of things. Like there's no queer theory. A lot of like the feminism articles are very first wave feminism.
Yeah.
And like where's the second, where's the third, where's the fourth? Why aren't we talking about post feminism? Yeah. Now it's not like a feminist theory class. Go take WS 303 for that. But it's missing a lot of like the gaps. Like there's no like disability studies. Like they can really elaborate on like they could use like W.E. Du Bois. Like there's a lot of like gaps. Like where's like the critical race theory? Like that's our biggest critique of this course.
100%. I think like the closest we got to queer theory was Foucault in historicism. Yeah. I love Foucault. I talk about Foucault a lot. Okay. So in terms of the class, like obviously we're talking about sitting in the class, doing things. There's always some like weird story that you come back with. And I think for me and Sophia, the big one was feed the damn chickens.
Feed the damn chickens!
So you know the week where you do, I think it's formalism, and he pulls up
Do we have to bleep that out?
No.
Okay, good, cool.
I don't think we have to, anyways. We do formalism, and I think he pulls out the red wheelbarrow. Yep. I can never say that properly.
The wheelbarrow.
The red wheelbarrow. And you know how he separates the class and he sends one out into the hallway. And for the people who don't know what formalism is, a lot of it is, you know, you don't think about authorial intent, and it's just what's a part of the work, and it's like something to be solved. And the issue with the red wheelbarrow is it's not a puzzle. There's nothing to be solved. It's six lines long, I think. And in one of the lines, there's something about chickens. And so someone who went out into the hallway, who did not hear about the author's background or the author talking about the inspiration from it, writes what they think it's about. And they wrote, feed the damn chickens, and drew a picture of a chicken.
That's so good.
And so, you know, Petch is like just holding it up for everyone to see, and everyone sees feed the damn chickens all caps with like a little cute little chicken drawing, and I think we reference that for like the next 3 weeks. I also have another one where I was reading Derrida in one of the glass boxes in Daub, and one of my profs walked by, and because the people can't see what I'm about to do, my head was down and my hands were like clutching my head in distress as I'm reading it. And a history prof that I know walks by, and he walks in and he's like, what are you reading? And I'm like, I don't know. It was deconstruction, by the way. It was post-structuralism. And he's like, ah, you're reading theory as you were.
Yeah. For me, I think my funny story of Patch in that class is it's the psycho unit. Not the psycho unit. It's the psychoanalysis week. And we're looking at all the very suggestive ads. And there's one of, like, this beer bottle being shaken and then exploding.
Yeah.
And he looks me dead in the eyes. I'm in the second row. And he looks at me and he goes, what do you think this ad represents? What do you think the beer bottle represents? And the stamina of not bursting out laughing took a toll.
Oh, I turned around and I was laughing. Like, I saw him start to look at us and I turned and I'm like, I can't right now. And I was just laughing.
Yep. That's what comes with being co-presidents of a club where, like, you can be picked on.
All the time. Like the historicism week where I'm the one history major and anytime there's an awkward silence, Evelyn, what do you think? Evelyn, what do you think about White's text on the historical text as a literary artifact? What are your thoughts? That happened like 6 times.
He keeps doing these things where he tries to like run experiments on us, like he did with the chicken poem thing, and we keep failing them. Yeah. Like, he clearly knows what he wants to happen, and we keep doing the wrong thing, and then he looks so disappointed afterwards.
I feel so bad for him.
I know. Like, we didn't do anything wrong, but he's so sad.
Yeah. Like the song. Yeah. The song where he thinks that the snow, people resonate more with the snow than the stars as a metaphor.
And we didn't. And he was upset about that.
Our class was the same, and he was also upset about that.
And for the red wheelbarrow, I have to say that very slow. We had pretty similar answers, the two groups, and he kept reading them. He was like, okay, maybe one more. Maybe one more. Maybe we'll just read one more. And he's trying to find one. And we were like, no, we you're right. We see your point. We do. Don't worry. We do.
We get what you're saying, yes. Dr. Petch.
And with that, if you too have struggled in this class, we are going to plug our study event, which is happening April
10th.
The 10th of April. It'll be an all-day event. We're getting Petch to show up. There will be free food for you to consume. There will be prizes and a little, there'll be help from us as pseudo-tutors who aren't being paid. But please show up, and hopefully it'll be super helpful.
What is it, everyone. 11 to 4? Drop in?
Right. Yeah.
Petch will come at about noon? 1?
I think it's 1, so we can have the food before he comes and not feed him.
So, with that, hard segue into, you look like you're about to say something.
I'm so excited. Can I say it?
Yes.
Okay, we're moving into what I've created as the Mary Kill of the theories. So you can really pick whatever you want. There's not a set list. I will go first because I have prepared because I made this segment. So for me, I would De Saussure on like the semiology. There's like the tree metaphor of like the tree's the sign and like the signifier is like the word and then like the actual thing of what it means is like the.
He wrote Course in General Linguistics, right?
Yep.
That's a good one.
And then for Mary, I would marry Suso.
She would treat you right.
Yeah, she's all about orgasmic literature and disruptive feminine writing and her e-crititure feminine, which I use in everything.
Gynocentrism.
I love this girl. And then kill Lacan, because why does everything have to be related to the phallus?
I don't care about the mirror phase.
That's the only thing I'd like from Lacan. Because there's a lot of mirrors in books.
That's true.
So, like The Handmaid's Tale, there's a lot of, like, mirrors
Jane
involved.
Eyre.
Exactly.
Nemesvari.
Yep.
We all know.
That's the only, like, useful thing from him. The rest, like, I don't care about the phallus.
Okay, I have 3. No, I don't. What the heck? Okay. Mary, Hayden White, and the historical text as a literary artifact. Because I love that one. It pretty much says, history's fiction. Which sometimes you have to agree with, and sometimes you have to disagree with. I would Benjamin and Aura. Why? I don't know. I just love that one.
Well, it's all about like authenticity and like reproduction, so right, and capitalism.
You're so smart. Yeah,
I love Walter Benjamin.
You are so right. Those are all the reasons why I would Benjamin and Aura. And then kill, I won't say Lacan, I'll say Freud.
Well, for obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons. I hate Freud.
Well, because if you picked Freud too, then he would like analyze it afterwards. And, like, that's like the worst part of it. It's not the actual doing, it's the afterwards.
I'm worried he would like picture me as his mother.
That's also problematic.
That's my thoughts on that.
Well, I was thinking about it on my walk, okay? I was like, well, that's why you wouldn't pick him.
Yeah, we were, I was saying, like, do you kill or do you Freud? But I was like, well, I feel like you'd have to kill him after, because, like, you don't want to talk about that with him. Yep. So, I don't know.
I can do some, like, talk therapy afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's really good at aftercare. I don't know.
Oh, I don't think he would be, personally.
I don't know. At least he would take care of, like, maybe your emotional needs. I
don't
know.
I think he would. I think that would make it worse.
This is, okay, weirdest conversation I've had today is what having sex with Freud would be like.
And what afterwards would be like.
And what the afterwards of Freud sex.
No,
I did not get to prepare for this.
Okay. Do you want me to give you three random ones?
Sure.
Okay. Derrida.
I haven't done that one
yet.
Do you want us to tell you where we're at?
Yeah.
We just did post-colonialism.
Okay. Edward Said. I'll throw in Lacan, because we've all just discussed Freud. And Althusser. With ideological state apparatuses. The very depressing class.
Yep, I used it in my essay yesterday on Nazis and the sterilization. Oh my god, and the sterilization of the blind. I put that in there, and I was like, I hope he recognizes what I'm doing.
I hope he likes Althusser and ideological
state
apparatuses.
A little bit of sparkles.
Okay, so Said, Lacan, Althusser, Ava. So, Althusser. I'm going to repeat what Abby just said. Okay. You can't escape capitalism because of all of these, like, soft power things, like school. That means, like, you can't escape the system. There's no way to escape capitalism. And I remember in class, he was like, in what ways can we combat this? And he's like, maybe don't spend money for one day. That's our escape.
Yeah. So, like, the ideological apparatuses are, like, the churches, the schools,
yeah,
like, the rec center. And then, like, the state apparatuses is, like, the police and the government.
The military government, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Ava.
Okay, I feel like I would that one.
Okay.
Because I'm, yeah, I just feel like I would. I don't really have a strong logic for why. It's just, like, yeah. And then I would marry Said because I like, we talked in class about how he brings back the whole intention thing. And he's,
yes,
like, intention's not a bad thing. Like, my experience actually elevates my knowledge.
Love Said.
And I love that. And I think that was a really interesting discussion. And also he's so genuine. He's so real. I feel like, you know, he could have good conversations. I think he would educate me a lot in a good way. from my privileged perspective, I think he would teach me a lot about the world. And so I would marry that one. And then I would kill Lacan.
Of course.
Because, like, need I say more than what has already been said about Lacan?
No, I think it's all been said.
I think we know why I would kill Lacan.
Also, like, his writing is impossible to read.
Also, yeah, not that enjoyable.
It made
simply.
No sense.
It made zero sense.
I didn't know what I was reading. I barely understood it after Petch talked about it.
I think we all felt the same way. Yeah. All right, Abby. So I'll give you the same ones. Who did I say? Lacan, Althusser, and Said.
Same answers as Ava, because I don't think there's anything else you can say.
I don't know. You could Said. You know, he could. Although
I don't want to marry one of the other two, though. I didn't like them.
You could marry Althusser, but you'd probably be really depressed.
hence why I wouldn't. And I refuse to any of the psychoanalysis guys for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
They think about it too much.
Yeah. Except Laura Mulvey.
Oh.
True.
Yeah.
I don't remember what. Oh, she was the
Scopophilia.
Yeah.
And voyeurism.
I didn't like that word, scopophilia.
Scopophilia? I think it's a fun word to say.
I don't like
scopophilia.
It. What did that mean again? Was it like the male gaze?
Yeah, it was like the
voyeurism.
Pleasure of looking.
Okay.
Right.
And yeah. Then like the voyeurism is like the pleasure of being looked at. Is that what it
I
is?
I thought voyeurism was looking.
Yeah.
Oh wait, you're right.
And then
the pleasure of looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that class just made me deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's fair.
All the psychoanalysis.
When you have a white man explaining like sex to you, you tend to be uncomfortable.
Who looks like my dad, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, that really pushes
like
it.
Petch low-key looks like my dad when he was younger.
And with that, we're going to move to our Instagram questions. You know, before we get, you know, into Freudian territory there. Our first question comes from the legendary Denny. You represent every week. We love you. So Denny's question is, can lit theory still be applied to a book with no deeper meaning, either philosophically, historically, etc.?
Dog, I think most books have deeper meanings. Like the red wheelbarrow.
If you really want to find a deeper meaning,
you can. Yeah. You can, like, even, like, looking at formalism, my friends.
Yes.
Structuralism. Looking at, like, the form and the structure of a work, the punctuation, what are they trying to get at? What are they trying to say? And I'm with Saeed on the fact that you can't separate the author from their time, you know? I don't, like, obviously, biographical fallacy, there's all of those issues, but you can look at the author, you can look at the work. I guarantee there's the Berenstain Bears has some deeper meaning, guys.
We looked at that in my gender studies class.
Wait, Berenstain Bears?
Yeah, women in popular culture and how it's actually really sexist. Like
oh, with Mama Bear and Papa Bear.
Well, no, but with like the kids of like, you know, like the sister bear and like the brother bear, like they have very different like clothing, hairstyles, they're treated very differently. There's different expectations of them. So, like, with picture books, like, you have, like, the images and the words and, like, how they correlate. So, I think you can find deeper meaning in really everything.
I agree.
Probably even this podcast.
Someone's going to, like, start doing a Freudian analysis of this right now.
Petch is going to get a final essay about us.
No, but there are so many, like, even book series or film series that are deemed, like, escapist and just for fun and non-important that fan bases go ham with, and they pick apart every single aspect of it. So I feel like if you want to find it, you can. But like you were saying, there are theories specifically for the form of the text.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can apply literary theory to anything if you try hard enough.
There we go.
Yep. I mean, really, our entire degree is so, yeah.
What the beat meant to say was. Oh.
Anyways,
yeah.
our whole degree is really just an exercise in BSing.
Yeah.
So our next question is 100% not for me. People, please submit your questions so I don't have to keep doing this facade. And so this is what our lovely friend Clarissa from the company ChatGPT gave us. If you could
Okay, you don't have to give that much information.
I think it's okay. If you could force one literary theorist to write fanfic, who would it be and what fandom?
Oh my.
Ava, do you have an answer?
Clarissa gave really good questions.
No, that is a good question. Oh, this is tough.
I know. It even connects to our second episode. It's like we use Clarissa a lot for this activity.
Stop exposing our pseudonym for AI. Oh my gosh.
I think I would pick Suso because she's my and that button's getting really, real, really used today. So I would use Suso. to look at Star Wars, I would look at, like, Anakin and Padme and really, because it's really male-gazy and, like, kind of gross and toxic. So I would use Suso to rewrite Padme's story. Ooh. I think that could be really cool.
That's very cool. Part of me wants to say Aristotle. And I think I would want him to write fan fiction. Can I say Oedipus Rex? Because, like, he's aware of that. He knows that it exists. He writes on it. So if he could write... There's literally no me giving an analysis of it like you did. I just think it'd be funny to see Aristotle write Oedipus Rex fan fiction. Or the Iliad fan fiction. Ooh. Aristotle remakes the Song of Achilles.
I agree.
Although I think Suso would... make a mean fan fiction. I'm gonna not say it because we already went there. I think I would go Foucault.
Ooh.
Just because, like, we used his class to talk about sexuality, and so I feel like he's the most maybe open in the older theories, I guess. I don't know. And I would get him to do a Harry Potter Marauders fan fiction for Remus and Sirius, none other. And I would get Foucault to really make a nice fan fiction what's their name again? Their ship name?
Wolfstar?
Wolfstar. For the Wolfstar fans
out there.
Don't ask
why I know that.
And I think if we let him read the original text first and then let him go at it, he could make something really great. I think it would come to him very naturally.
Fully unrelated, before I ask Abby, have you read All the Young Dudes?
Yep, and I have them printed on my bookshelf.
Ooh!
Yep. It was a phase. I did it with my friend at the time. When people asked me, what are those really, really, really large black books on your bookshelf?
It's
fan fiction. Next topic, next question. We don't need to talk about it. But yes, I have, and that's why I said that answer.
I read all of it in, like, 5 days 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's one of those, for sure.
Yeah. Abby?
Okay. Don't touch that. I'm going to say, I think
that's
it would
be... That's what he said.
Okay.
Thank you, Sophia. I really appreciate that.
Come
anyways.
On, we're talking about Freud, guys. We got to use this opportunity for good.
I'm going to say Karl Marx. Okay. Because I think it would be funny.
That would be funny.
And it would have to be for something like Les Mis or something where there is already a class element.
Yes.
And then he would just get really specific about
this
it.
This is the smartest
Bridget
one so
Jones's
far.
Diary.
Yes.
Karl Marx fan fiction. That's what we need in this world. Someone revive him. Someone make him write.
Bring him back. Let's use science for that.
Absolutely. So our final question is also not me. Nobody's laughing over here. This is serious.
This is a very serious publication.
And so this question from Anonymous.
Whoa.
We can't see her here. Which them. There we go. Which literary theorists would be the worst person to be stuck in an elevator with? I'm going to go first.
Go.
I think it'll be Foucault. We don't talk about it in literary theory, but he does talk about, like, the panopticon and, like, the structures of society being, like, limiting.
Yeah.
I think he would go on, like, right now, this is, like, a metaphor for how society is. And you're like, bro, I just want to go get a sandwich. Like, can we just, like, live in silence? Yeah. And then he would be like, but that's, like, the conditions of society. And it would just be, like, this loop
He'd
that
you
could never
you
escape.
Out the
yeah, and he would continue.
I was going to say... Aristotle, because he's probably stinky. It's like I don't think they bathe that often, but I'll give an actual answer. And I want to go with Althusser. I think he'd try and like give me an elevator pitch, but like depress me. That's a good pun. but I think I would just walk out of that like 1 minute interaction just depressed about the world, wouldn't be able to do anything. And then my other answer is Aristotle and Plato because they're stinky.
Right.
That's my assumption. I've never actually met them. I don't know if they're actually stinky, but I'm assuming that they are.
What do you mean you haven't met them?
I know, believe it or not, I haven't gone back to ancient Greece.
Maybe one day.
When I do go, I'll meet Diogenes, my barrel living king.
Send us a postcard.
I will. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say Freud. I don't want to be stuck in a small space with someone who wants to psychoanalyze me.
And, like, he's probably thinking about how you want to, like, kill your mom and have sex with
exactly.
your dad.
Exactly. And yeah. I don't want someone to tell me that.
Yeah, and he'd be like, I think you just really want a penis. I think that would just really fulfill your life. Exactly.
Anyways, I think that would ruin my day, so.
Yeah.
Totally. Total buzzkill.
Total buzzkill.
I was going to say Freud for the same reasons, but also Barthes. Not Ooh. Because he is unintelligent or anything, but just because I think he would tell me that I don't matter. Basically, in my writing, he would, you know, like, I don't know how that would come up, but I think he'd find a way. I think he would find a way to tell me that. Just
he'd be like, not. Your authorial intent doesn't matter, and your death will, like, not matter at all.
Not no shake anything at all. So I think that, yeah. I think that as someone that likes to write, don't want to meet Barthes personally.
Thank you, Roland Barthes.
Thank you.
He also writes on mythology, mythologizing things, and that comes up in history a lot. So every time I see him, I underline his name and I say, you.
Yeah. Interesting guy, like, interesting, but not a fave, personally.
Fair. With that... do we have any last comments or opinions you want to share before we head off into the world?
I hate Freud.
Yep. True. Do we all want to say it at the same time?
Okay, yes. Yeah. Ready?
One, two, three.
I hate Freud! That was so good!
Amen, ladies.
Also, don't not take Lit Theory, just because you hear scary things sometimes. It's a lot, but it's really helpful.
It's super helpful. I'll be in other classes and I'll be like, I know that.
Yeah, I find that too. And like, I don't even technically have to take it, fun fact. But I do really like it. It's a lot of work, but if you're willing to put in the work, which I feel like, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, then I'm going to put faith in you and say that you are willing to put in the work and you'll like it.
Yeah, I find like using like the theories that we talked about in EN301 adds like the sizzle to like any research paper, because like other double majors like probably won't willingly take this class, like the three of us here, but it adds like the little pizzazz and like jazz hands of like I knew so mm-hmm. whoop.
That's actually true. Yeah, I apply it in my English papers. Maybe I don't do it well, but I do it.
But I do it.
I try.
Yep, Dr. Bell, you just wait for my final paper.
I don't even know what I'm going to write for that. With that, we have come to the end of our fourth episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, for listening.
For using your brain power to listen to us for how many ever minutes this turns out to be.
Sub 40, I think.
That's okay.
But yeah, we will be back in another 2 weeks with another podcast episode on...
It's undetermined right now, but I'm pretty sure we're talking about life after university and plans that we have.
Yes.
So if you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do next year when I graduate, you know, hop on to, you know, radiolore.com and...
Listen to pros and cons.
Exactly.
Thank you, Abby and Ava, for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And that's a wrap on Pros and Cons, episode 4.
Bye.
Bye.